Good morning, Chelvest and Caldergott and Chelston Rise. It's Maundy Thursday, the 9th of April, and this is Adrian Dale with a daily briefing for the village. Now, as I'm finalising this podcast in the mornings, it's usually still dark outside, and I sometimes wonder whether anyone actually listens. I know my father does, but I speak to him twice a day anyway, so he doesn't really count. And Brenda and Ken usually comment, but again, I could phone them both up at a much more civilised hour. So you can imagine my pleasure when I had a phone call from Horace Eady yesterday morning, or H, as most people know him. Horace has the honour of being the current father of the village. Now, to be clear, that doesn't mean he was the cause of a mini baby boom in his youth. No, it actually means he's the oldest living resident who was born in the village. What Horace doesn't know about village history isn't worth knowing. So when he calls, I listen. Adrian, he said, I was listening to your broadcast yesterday. Well, so far so good, I thought. Anyway, I enjoyed it. Even better, I thought. But I know you're a stickler for getting things right. I thought, oh dear, this doesn't sound so good. Well, yesterday you made a big mistake. My heart fell. You might have lived here 33 years, but you know bugger all about the countryside. I was puzzled and wondered what the hell was coming next. In my day, we didn't have herds of sheep on the road, like what you talked about yesterday. We had herds of cows. Our sheep went round in flocks. Well, I collapsed in fits of laughter. Horace has always got such a deadpan way of delivering a joke. I just didn't see it coming. But the main thing is, at least someone listened to the first part of the podcast. An hour later, I had a message from Vanessa Blaine. She'd heard me welcome Richard Brown into Caldecott and wondered why I hadn't welcomed Lee, who'd moved into Chelston Rise. I was mortified. How had I missed a new arrival? I did some digging, and clearly it was my mistake. When I delivered the first letters about the emergency, Rain Erdshaw had just moved out and her house was empty, so I didn't leave a letter. When I delivered the second one, it still looked empty, so I didn't leave a letter then either. It was my mistake completely. In my database, I'd marked the house as empty. So sorry, Lee. Welcome aboard. I've delivered the letters and a copy of the walking map to you, but I'll buy you a beer when the pub reopens as a proper welcome. So now I know that at least someone listens right through to the end of my broadcast. But to make sure that doesn't happen again, I've had a chat with our brilliant postie, Elliot. Now, of course, he knew that Rain had moved out and he knew that Lee had moved in. Elliot's dependable and very discreet, but he knows everything. He probably knows our birthdays better than our families do. Elliot's agreed to let me know if anyone moves in or out. He can't tell me the names involved, obviously, but he can let me know if a household changes occupancy. He also keeps an eye on all the vulnerable households and will let me know if he's worried about any of them. So here we go. That's another string to our bow. Elliot is also on the case. Now, I had a third call at lunchtime, which shows what happens if you're out of the loop and don't follow the daily broadcasts and newsletters. A medically vulnerable resident, being supported by her daughter, is struggling to get supermarket slots. Unfortunately, she doesn't seem to have received her NHS letter, and so she hadn't known about the vulnerable person scheme. So I've been able to point them both to the daily newsletter and get them to register with the gov.uk and the Northamptonshire County Council support line. Sadly, it'll take 2 to 3 weeks for this to take effect, but at least her family can support her in the interim. Now, the Village Telegraph worked very well yesterday. A food parcel was misdelivered and word reached me very quickly. I was really worried as the household it was intended for are supposedly all okay on my database. And I wondered, had they suddenly deteriorated? So I dashed around to pick it up in my Postman Pat van, and was delighted to see the box contained strawberries, asparagus, lemons and a sweet potato. And I realised then that this wasn't an emergency parcel. In fact, the greengrocers in Higham had just delivered it to the wrong address because Chelveston addresses are all very confusing. Sadly, the national news wasn't good. James Bird watches Sky News very closely and every day for the last week they seem to have released the figures for NHS England long before the Department for Health. He alerted me around 3 p.m. about a shocking figure of 828 deaths in England alone. The official figures for the UK weren't released until just before 5 p.m., showing 938 deaths in hospitals across the whole of the United Kingdom. When you take care homes and private homes into account, yesterday we will have passed the threshold of 1,000 deaths in a day. Less than 3 weeks ago, when this lockdown started, we had just 33 deaths in one day. That's a 30-fold increase in just 21 days, and almost unbelievable. So this Easter weekend, I hope that everyone thinks twice before inviting friends over for a drink party on the front lawn, or perhaps the last barbecue they ever have. The letter from the Prime Minister delivered to each household this week was very clear. Couldn't have been clearer. You must not meet friends or family who do not live in your home for any reason. You may only leave your home for exceptional circumstances, and none of these involve socialising. You must stay at home to protect the NHS and save lives. Thank you.